Welcome to another Men of 8 Gang podcast, episode 126. I'm Steve Borsch, and I'm on with Tim Elliott.
Good morning.
Graham Thickens.
Hello? Graham has left the building.
He's here. Graham.
Oh, I had my mute on. Sorry, yes. I was talking. You guys just couldn't hear it.
And Phil Wilson.
Hello.
How are you guys doing this morning?
Good, thanks.
Doing good.
Good.
A little cool. The weather's, you know, a little crazy here in
Minnesota. What a wacky week weather-wise.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
It's like, well, it's like the dark, it's like the hot side of the sun one day, and then it like cools down.
Well, I was wondering if we were going to, if, you know, I know they had scheduled summer for a Tuesday. I just didn't think it was this Tuesday.
Oh, God. Isn't that
good
true?
Lord. But anyway.
Anyway.
Been a busy week.
It has been. Well, you know, and it's also the thing that struck me is I went back to my calendar and some notes I'd written last June that when we did a podcast. And you know how everybody talks about the pace of change and change mm-hmm. is accelerating? There's no question. I mean, you look at all the stuff that's happened just in the last week. You know, with Google buying this ad company and the IPOs the week before, Apple's announcements at WWDC, all the devices that are coming out, you know, and rumors of the new HP tablet and so forth. I mean, it's like, hello. Don't you think the pace is going faster?
It sure is. For a summer week, there's been a lot happening.
Yeah. Yeah, because normally it seems like people really throttle back in the summer. Mm-hmm. It's that way for events, it seems. But mm-hmm. this Worldwide Developers Conference, there was so much buzz about it, and we're actually going to have somebody on as our guest who's out there from W3I, and her name Shivani Khanna, right, Karen?
Yep,
and but we'll be giving her a buzz in just a couple of minutes. But I mean, it's just, you know, you look at the list, and I'll put a list in the show notes here of all the stuff on Mac OS X line and iOS and the iCloud, of course, is the biggie. It's pretty amazing. There's the sheer volume of stuff that they announced.
Well, listen, before we proceed, I feel that we have to do this. I would like to issue this statement up front. Warning, this will be a very Apple-heavy Men of 8 Gang podcast. Warning, this will be a very heavy Apple Men of 8 Gang podcast.
That's right. Okay.
So just all prepare right. yourself, you know, those of you that are, you know, Microsoft aficionados or Android users. We're going to be talking a lot about Mac, which we have to, because WWDC is a big piece of that pie. So my question, first and foremost, to Graham and Steve. Now, Tim, you may also carry some Apple stock. You just don't talk about it as much. But last time I checked, Apple stock was flat or off. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the market seems to be reacting to the you know, the jobs succession situation.
Yeah, I agree.
That's the only explanation I've read.
Because he did not, he just simply did not look good, or I should say, he looked about the same in terms of his thinness, but he didn't sound good.
And so. That's the only issue. I mean, because the news and the results and the amount of, you know, units that they're selling, I mean, it's all positive news for the stock in my mind, you know.
So my question is then, when does, you know, before we get into, you know, the specifics of WWDC and the announcements, but when does Steve Jobs become more of a detriment to the performance of the company as far as financially and stock, Wall Street performance? When does he become a detriment? I mean, obviously he continues to come and show up, mostly because I'm sure he knows that he is the head of the company and the icon. So when does that become a detriment?
Well, I would argue that it already is, but you know, there's a lot of reverence for him as a person,
and rightfully
so. Well, the one thing that I thought was interesting was the article about the professor from Yale that they hired to come in and systemically put together processes and methods and knowledge bases for the company. So they're basically, what they're trying to do is they're trying to map Steve Jobs onto some sort of a knowledge base so that he can live on, if you will.
Ooh, the Jobs bot.
Well, you know, in a lot of ways, it's you know, because look what happened when he came back, right? And now look at all the people that are calling for Bill Gates to come back to Microsoft as the visionary, because the whole vision thing, it's not just execution, it's also the vision. And that's one of the things that people have talked about again and again and again about Jobs, is the fact that he can visualize the outcome of a product or a category or an industry and see what needs to happen. And so then one of the reasons supposedly that he's so mercurial and standoffish and tough on people is the fact that he gets pissed off when they don't see the same vision. And all he cares about is getting to that end state. And
Steve Jobs is not the only guy that has this vision. So, you know, instead of focusing on, you know, saving his vision and, you know, mapping his mind and turning into a Jobs bot, why aren't they looking for the next Steve Jobs? Why are they not out there, you know, looking under rocks and looking in labs to people?
I'm sure they are.
You think?
Oh, God, yes, absolutely. I mean, nobody's, you know, at one point, and Graham, you probably even know the analyst who did this. I'm trying to remember his name now. It wasn't the Piper Jaffray guy, but this guy had come out with a very cogent argument that Jobs was worth 25% of the market cap of Apple.
I missed that one.
If he dies, you know, that there goes 25% of the market cap. It's like, no, no.
But, well, you know, what strikes me is that, you know, Tim Cook is a very capable executive, but they sure don't seem to be doing much to get him out there.
No.
Was he even on stage at all at WWDC? Did anybody hear Phil?
No.
Phil Schiller?
No.
Schiller. Is that the same? Yeah. But Tim Cook is obviously the, you know, well, isn't he acting CEO, or how do they specify it when Jobs is on medical leave?
No, he is.
He is.
He is.
Yep.
Yeah, he's running.
He's not as charismatic as Jobs.
Oh, absolutely not. But you know, wouldn't you think they'd be doing something to sort of craft a you know, more of a presence for him? I mean, he's been like invisible lately that I've noticed.
No, because Apple, especially under Jobs, has been a marketing-led company, and so you're going to have your marketers out there. So it's going to be Phil Schiller and Forstall and all the people that were on stage on Monday with Jobs.
Right.
Those are going to be the faces once Steve retires.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a different scenario, but, you know, they're not the CEO, and they're not being even talked about as being the successor to Jobs. So, you know, what Steve says is he thinks they're looking for a replacement. I don't know. That's an interesting thought. You know, who in the heck could that ever be, you know?
No, I think it's, instead of having one person, you know, that does so much like Jobs does, I think it's going to be divided over several people.
Yeah, because...
So Cook is definitely the guy who's going to be the next CEO.
You think so?
Well, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, well...
What about bringing back Woz?
But he's actually still on the payroll.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
Yeah. He's a wild man.
Yes, he is.
He would never... No, he wouldn't. He's not the guy.
I don't know if he's a wild man. He may be more of a whack job than a wild man, but hey, that's okay.
This is an aside, but did you see the plan for the new Apple campus that was?
Yes.
Isn't that a bizarre?
What, four stories high and an oval shape? Is that what it is?
It's circular.
Yeah, it looks like a spaceship. Yeah.
Well, I watched Jobs pitch the city of Cupertino, the city council, for that. It was like a 20-minute video. And what was interesting about it is as he was walking through the plans or their vision for the site, it was all about taking all the parking underground and having this building back in the corner, and then the top would be all brought back to more of a natural state and put in some apricot trees and all of that, you know. So just from a sheer ambiance and beauty and nature standpoint, it's going to be this behemoth spaceship looking building in the corner, but then essentially it's not going to be like most campuses where it's, you know, 80% parking lot.
Right. And which so, I think is very cool. And, you know, I think that, Cupertino would be nuts not to let him go ahead and build.
they absolutely will. No question. Yeah.
So, well, listen, let's talk a little bit about some of the stuff that has been, that was announced at WWDC in the keynote. You know, there was a lot going on the rest of the week, and we'll talk to Shivani about that, I'm sure. But let's talk a little bit about, some of the significant announcements. And there were lots of changes in iOS. There were the announcement of Lion being dropped in July. Is that right?
Yeah, yep. In July for $29. So
$29.
That sort of, you know, they sort of set a new price point for the OS. But probably
the last one was $29 too.
Yeah, it was.
But that was just an upgrade, right?
Yep.
I mean, Snow Leopard.
Yeah.
Snow Lion. Snow Leopard was a full version.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I'm waiting Although for it, Snow it, Lion.
Yeah. Snow yeah, Lion. Let's go with Snow Lion. Yes. The next the next upgrade will be Cowardly Lion.
Yeah. Well, I think in OS X Lion the most important feature was the Congressman Wiener automatic photo taking app. So that was
wow. No, the most important the most important part of Lion is courage. Thank you.
That is bad.
Good night, everybody. I would say
that probably the biggest thing was, and a lot of people saw this immediately, but there's no question when I looked at Mission Control and Launchpad and all of that, it looked very iOS-like, and you could start to see how the two are going to come together at some point. But you know what really looked, I thought, really fascinating was the app called AirDrop. Not that it's not already relatively simple to add a network drive or to add somebody else's computer and drop something into their public folder, but AirDrop makes it even easier. And so it's essentially Bonjour on steroids, peer-to-peer file sharing thing. And so now you can see how that's going to end up in iOS too, because it's pretty straightforward. There's already apps that do that. There's one called Air Sharing for iOS allows you to do that. And it's based on an open standard, on an IETF open standards, which means that Android can have that in the operating system as well easily. So there will be, I foresee within the next year, we'll see an AirDrop-like capability with every device. And so you want to share a PowerPoint with somebody, you just drop it on their device. Boom, done. So I thought that was really cool.
Yep. Do you have to be in Wi-Fi, in a Wi-Fi network to do that, right?
No, that was the big thing about, you got to have an airport or a wireless card in your device.
Yeah. Okay.
But no, it's pure peer to peer.
Okay.
So you could be sitting in a field in North Dakota and share files.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know
gotcha.
Why you would do that, but and so iOS. What did you guys see in iOS that looked amazing?
Well, Twitter integration is big deal. I think.
Why is that a big deal, Graham?
Well, because it's going to enable a lot more sharing of apps, and it's just going to increase the app growth is what Ryan Sarver at Twitter says in an interview on TechCrunch. He thinks it's the biggest thing since the App Store as far as driving app growth. I'll put that link in the show notes, because it's going to enable you to tweet from anywhere, And but it opens up the whole network effect of app sharing and app usage and app downloads, which Shivani from W3I, I would think, could speak to, since they're in the app distribution business. They must see it as a pretty big...
Well, I found it to be kind of interesting that they picked Twitter and not something like Facebook. That
right. Well, they've tried to get close to Facebook, but this deal is being seen as a real coup for Twitter. I mean, it kind of leaves Facebook, holding the bag.
Does this get Twitter any closer to making money?
Oh yeah, well, absolutely.
It's bound to. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the
okay,
one thing.
So how?
I saw an analysis by a guy who had talked about the wonderful aspect of all these apps that have Twitter integration in it. And Graham, you use Zeit, the right. news reading app on your iPad, and you can just click a button and tweet it or email it or do all these different things with it.
Yeah, but a lot of apps have Twitter integration right. already, but this bakes it right in.
It bakes
iOS.
It right in. But what this guy said was with that is that you can't, for example, have multiple accounts. So I want to tweet from this account or that account. You've got to actually log out of the account in that app and then log back in. But having a tight integration will allow you to pick and choose the account you want and tweet from multiple accounts, for example. But in terms of talking about making money and so on, one of the things that about 60% of all the Twitter use is links. Mm-hmm. And being able to insert links to landing pages for ads and things of that nature, or for, offers, making offers and so forth, all Twitter has to do is have a designation of some kind so that the user knows before they click on the link that they're clicking on a link for an offer or something along those lines. And they could charge for that.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound like a stretch?
Well, it's just it's going to advance Twitter, in the race with Facebook to be, to be the a top, the social net, the social networking game, and so it's being seen as a. As a coup, I think for Twitter,
not even going to bring Twitter even close to beating Facebook as a social network.
Well, as far as numbers,
I mean, 8% of America uses Twitter. Yeah, 90% of them know about it, but nobody uses the damn thing. So, as far as real people,
but this will go towards helping to change that.
I mean,
they've scored a deal with the top phone. I mean, 200 million iPhone or iOS devices. I don't know if it's
Who wasn't using a Twitter device on there? That's a Twitter user. Who wasn't using a Twitter app already on their phone?
Well, it is
already using it.
Well, yeah, that's a good question, but this is just going to allow all kinds of other apps to be able to have that connection
to
a network.
Before we bog down too much more in this, we should follow up with this because I want to bring Shivani on, but we have to mention one more thing before we bring her on.
What's that?
And that's iCloud as the big as the big piece to this whole thing, because it's Jobs kept saying over and over and over again, it just works, and it's essentially cloud computing for Joe Sixpack and Susie Sixpack.
One thing that surprised me is there's no streaming mentioned at all. It's store and download basically.
Yeah. Well, they may just simply not be ready with that yet.
Because you'd think that if they have this big data center and they've got all this content, that you could push a lot of this stuff to Apple TV, but the new one is a streaming device only. So,
well, it's true, but if you think about what's happening with AirPlay and how you can push video content through Apple TV to your TV, and now in the new iOS 5, you'll be able to use your iPad, and anything you're seeing on your iPad can be shown on your HDTV through the air, you can start to see where they're going with that. And I think they have photo stream built into iCloud. So you can, take a photo and it's automatically shoved up into the cloud and then automatically.
But they're pushed. It's pushed. Yeah, but this is all about, guys, this is, look, it's going to happen. Eventually they will offer a streaming service. Last.fm, for example, yesterday announced that they're now offering a Pandora-like service on their system. So, yeah, it's only a matter of time. But really, this is all about customization for Apple. It's customization and more control. I think it's a stroke of genius. The Music Match system we talked a little bit about last week, that is the most exciting piece about this, because it allows you to get better quality audio for a mere $25 a month for stuff that you've already got.
That's $25 a year.
Excuse me, $25 a year. That's exactly right. And most of that money is probably going to end up in the hands of artists and the record companies, because this is all, imagine all that bootleg MP3 stuff you got from years gone by, swapping that in out for a quality audio piece, and then that being available to pay artists. I think it's a great stroke of genius. I think Steve Jobs is going to save a lot of record execs' butts on this one.
Yep, they finally have a way to collect on some of that pirated.
Yeah, from years gone by, no less. Yeah.
So either that, or they're going to be able to sue people a lot easier, because they have proof.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Granted, I was glass half full. Granted.
Well, before we bring Shivani on, I'll just say one thing about my fear about iCloud. Is my fear that iCloud is going to end up like iWeb, which is, a lot of promise and a cool looking app, and nobody uses it because it's just so cheesy and low end. And, all of us are Gmail users, as an example. And one of the things that I absolutely adore about Gmail is the fact that I can, jump on the PC at the office and pull up my Gmail. I can easily share files with myself. I can use Dropbox and drop things all over the place. And, so I'm already living in the cloud. I'm living on multiple devices.
You're living La Vida Loca.
Yeah. There you go. There you go.
So Mobile Me goes away. iDisk is gone. Everything is in this iCloud, and it's all pretty much free, except if you do this this music exchange program.
Correct. Yep.
Right. Match, yeah.
So I wonder how Apple, I guess Apple makes the money with selling the devices.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely.
And I really believe they're trying to simply do a land grab right now.
Well, and it seems, as I recall, part of that Music Match thing was that they get, I think they take 30% of that. I think that's what it is. I'm not sure. I think I saw something there that they get a piece of that action, but a lot of it goes out to artists and record labels. So. Yeah.
Well, speaking of land grabs, Steve, did you see Cringely's piece on It's All About, crushing Windows?
Yeah.
I love that piece.
Yeah.
Well, I don't see how that's a possible.
Well,
they could crush. Yeah. I've seen the article and, I think that they can put the hurt on Windows in the consumer space, maybe, but not in the enterprise.
Well, the desktop, is going to be around longer in the enterprise, but there's no question that it's dying a slow death. Well,
let's bring Shivani on, then we'll follow up with that. We'll talk about that after she's off. But sure.
Once again, I want to tell everybody that we'll be talking Apple for quite a while now. So just want to give you that warning. We will continue to talk Apple.
It's the week of Apple here. That's
we're not going to talk about the Wii U.
No.
bummer. It is 6:30 in the morning there.
Yes.
Hello.
Shivani, good morning. Steve Borsch, and I'm on with Tim Elliott, Graham Thickens, Phil Wilson. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good morning. How are you guys doing this morning?
Just great, Shivani. Nice to hear your voice. How are things? About 6:30 there where you are right now?
Yes, it is 6:30 in the morning, bright and early.
Well, and thanks for getting up early for us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, anytime.
Yeah, so you've had a big week. This is Graham. You've had a big week out there, a full week, and you've got another day ahead of you yet at WWDC, huh?
Yes, it has been overwhelmingly awesome. You know, it's like drinking out of the fire hose. It's been extremely interesting. I'm sure everybody's seen the keynote and heard about it. Yeah, there's so much more, even for the developers. So yeah, it's been really, really, really a lot of fun.
So, your first trip there, Shivani?
No, this is my second time here. Oh. I was here last year for WWDC as well. Okay. You know, but every time it's an absolutely new feeling. You know, with everything that Apple has to offer, you know, especially from a developer's point of view, you know, there've been a few announcements that have been obviously very, very positive for us as a business, and a few of them that we're a little skeptical about. So,
well, which ones are those? What did you see that's really important for W3i?
Well, for, you know, from the business perspective and from the developer's perspective, obviously there are different things, you know, for developers. You know, since we just got into mobile development last year, you know, one of the bigger issues I would say for development is, you know, testing with various different devices and just making sure, you know, we need to procure all the different devices because, you know, our app needs to work on everything. However, with the over-the-air updates now, you know, that'll become obviously a less of an issue in the future, especially when more and more people migrate to iOS 5 and get that installed. They'll get updates over the air, which makes it really easy for developers. You know, testing various different devices is not going to be so much of a problem. You know, from a business perspective, it's also very interesting. We've been in the business of trying to solve the app discovery problem. And it seems like Apple has started to do the same, or is trying to do the same thing with their, you know, updates that they've made to the Game Center. This is interesting. I'm sure they're approaching it from an entirely different angle. I'd be really interested to see what those updates are. You know, I haven't yet installed iOS 5 on my iPhone because there have been tweets going around and I think some people have not had too much of success in doing so, you know, because there's still a few bugs. But, you know, the Apple developers are great about addressing those issues. I think one of the best, one of my most favorite experiences of coming to WWDC is actually going to the labs and being able to talk to the engineers. In fact, I was here yesterday, and I just filed a couple of bugs with Xcode 4, and they were very, very appreciative of, you know, us reporting the bugs and things like that. So it's really great. You know, it's great interaction.
What is the in terms of all the developers that you've talked to, what's the number one most exciting thing that developers are seeing overall?
I don't know if I can really pinpoint one.
Okay.
You know, it really depends upon what you're doing, you know, as a developer. But something that's gotten a lot of buzz is AirPlay. You know, the whole idea of real-time streaming over the air. And, you know, this with iOS 4, definitely there were limitations. But with iOS 5, you know, literally, I mean, there's speculation that you don't need you know, any game consoles anymore, and consoles are going to be obsolete.
Oh, really?
You know, so that opens, yeah, and that opens up. You know, obviously it'll take a while for, you know, the migration to happen, and you know, the kind of streaming support and the kind of video support that it's going to provide, and, you know, it's dependent on wireless and all of that stuff. But still, you know, it opens up a whole new opportunity, and I'm sure Apple's not going to stop over here. You know, they're going to keep enhancing it in the future. So that opens up, you know, gateways for a whole bunch of developers to do a lot of cool stuff. I mean, you know, if you just picture, you know, someone playing Angry Birds on their iPad and being able to stream it to their Apple TV, you know, you can imagine. You know, or if for anything, you know, you're watching something on your iPad and being able to stream it to your to your Apple TV. I think that's one of the big things. You know, Twitter integration is great, especially, you know, if you don't do very, very deep Twitter integration, the single sign-on, definitely very beneficial. I mean, there's a lot of speculation about, you know, what about the other services, you know. Twitter is great, but what about Facebook and what about all the other LinkedIn and everything else? You know, there is speculation about if... I should be careful about what I'm saying. I think I'm under NDA.
all right. Well,
I can talk about the speculation pieces. You know, but about Facebook and LinkedIn and other services. Also, iMessage, you know, that's one of the bigger things. Not really from a developer's perspective, but actually from a user's perspective. You know, that's great. A few things, you know, with the Safari Reader and, you know, being able to mark content to be read later, and also all the great enhancements that they've made with the camera features and the wireless thing. Also, the geofencing location updates, you know, the reminder applications and things like that. You know, this has caused, I think it's been a bag of mixed feelings, because, you know, some developers are a little upset about the fact that, you know, Apple seems to take the best ideas and integrates them, you know, and then the developers have to go figure out what else to do. Right. But I mean, you know, that is the way things are, and, you know, we need to embrace those changes as developers and as users, and, you know, try to make use of the best features that they offer to develop great stuff, I guess.
Well, is there anything in iCloud from a developer standpoint, any APIs and things that you'll be able to take advantage of?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I mean, you know, it makes it, you know, it's all about providing a great user experience and, you know, with iCloud, being able to store all your content in the cloud, even from a developer aspect, you know, that's pretty big. Their APIs seem really, really seamless. And very, very easy to integrate from all the demos that we've seen. In addition, you know, all the enhancements that they've made to the developer tools is really, really commendable. I mean, there's, I can't talk about some of the things, I guess, but, you know, it's a huge leap from where we were before. I think one of the biggest advantages is for newer developers who, you know, one of the biggest things that, you know, any developer on any other platform, the biggest apprehensions that they had before about making the shift to Objective-C, you know, for creating iOS applications, I think some of the stuff, like with the automatic referencing and memory management that they've done, I think they've done an excellent job with that. And iCloud, I mean, you know, it is... something that, you know, I think everybody's been speculating for a while, and, you know, they've made, obviously it's going to be huge for developers and for users.
Well, I'm sorry about that, Tim. I just wanted to throw in one thing real quickly is I'm blown away by what you said about gaming. About what people think that potentially this could make game consoles go away. My son just downloaded Infinity Blade, which is a game for the iPhone that uses the Unreal engine. And this kid he knows games. I mean, he is very, very, in fact, that's what he wants to do for his living is do game development. And he came down and was showing me this game, and he was so blown away. He goes, Dad, I can't believe this is running on my iPhone. And he probably said that to me 15 times. And I was like, okay, well, yeah, whatever. But now having you say that about gaming and then...
You're going to go apologize to
yourself. I'm going to go apologize to him. Absolutely.
Well, what I think is interesting now is if you I hate to swoop in on E3 here, but if you see what Nintendo's doing with their next generation Wii, they're actually bringing some of the ideas from the iPad into the game controller and merging them. And so I think you're going to see this period where stuff will go back and forth. But the question that I had for you was, with Lion coming out next month, it looks like there's a, you know, both macOS and iOS are on a collision course. Do you see those as a developer sort of merging at some point, or will they stay separated?
I think they would probably be separated for a while because they're trying to address different problems. I do not really think it's a concern for developers. The concepts are pretty much the same. A lot of the APIs, like a lot of the sessions that I went to, a lot of the APIs are shared between, Lion and iOS 5. There's very little learning curve or very few changes, depending upon what you want to do in both of them. And I don't do too much of macOS development, but I don't think it's a concern for the developers. I could see it merging in the future, but they're trying to solve problems in two different spaces right now. So also with Steve Jobs' comment that they're just demoting the macOS to be just another device, I think Apple, even from the API's perspective, is approaching it that way. Several of the APIs that we spoke about during the sessions and the new functionality, I mean, it's almost, I want to say it's almost the same whether you're working on macOS or iOS. So.
Interesting. Listen, let's talk a little bit about the experience at WWDC, especially for those folks that haven't been able to make that trip, whether they're managers or directors or developers that have never made that trip. Tell us a little bit about the week there. Obviously for the media, it all centers around the keynote. What is your day like there, Shivani? What are you doing on a daily basis?
Sure. Yeah, it's very, very overwhelming, the experience. So the day starts here at 9. Sessions start at 9. You have sessions all throughout the day and you have labs all throughout the day. I can tell you I don't think there's been one day where I haven't had to stand in a line to get into the sessions. And the lines have been wrapped around the Moscone West building inside. Wow. It pretty much seems like, I'm sure you guys have seen the lines outside for the keynote, but it's pretty much the same thing inside the buildings too for some of the sessions that everybody wants to go to. I think most of us don't want to stand in any lines when we come back at least for a week because we've done enough of that over here. That just shows the passion and the enthusiasm, the developers. They're willing to do what it takes. And, I stood in some lines for half an hour to get inside the room. And in certain cases, I was turned back because the room filled up. And they just told us to watch the videos once we're done. But that's all right. There are lots of people, there are lots of sessions. And they do a really, really good job of, repeating the sessions and putting them online as soon as possible and making content available. In fact, I think all the content from all the sessions is already available to all of us who are registered for WWDC. It's great to be able to come back home come back to the hotel and take a look at all of that later on. But during the day, it's a lot of there's a lot of buzz, there's a lot of energy. The Apple engineers are really, really good about answering questions. The labs are always full, where you can go and one-on-one speak with the Apple developers and, talk to them about your problems or issues that you're having. There's great, great networking, great collaboration. I must have met over 100 people, I think, in the last 4 days, and just talking to them about what they're doing and sharing experiences. Last night was WWDC Bash. It was pretty good. There was a lot of speculation and back and forth on Twitter about, which band is going to be playing. Unfortunately, it wasn't Bonner. People were expecting Bonner to be here because I think U2 was playing 2 days ago, but unfortunately, it was not him. Every day of the week, there have been a whole bunch of after parties. I just went to a few of them, but I know some other developers from W3I have really partied it out. It's a great networking event. Some guys have put on a great show, like Push.io and Scribd. W3I hosted a party as well over here. It was on Tuesday night. We had a great turnout. Great networking, get to meet a whole bunch of people. So basically, your day starts at 9 and pretty much goes on until 10 or 12 in the night, with a lot of food, a lot of drinks, a lot of, a lot of conversations and a lot of anticipation for the future.
How many people are there from W3I, Shivani?
We're about five of us, you know. Yeah, five developers. And then we had a few folks from the business. Ryan and Rob were here, too. Co-founders of W3I. Yeah, they were here Monday and Tuesday. They went back on Tuesday. They were just here for the after parties and the networking events. But, yeah, there were five developers attending WWDC, and we had about three or four people from the business on Monday and Tuesday. So, yeah, we had quite a bit of a presence. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Huh. Outstanding. Well, so you've got one more day there, and then you're back home, huh?
Yes, we are. In fact, I think the sessions wrap up today at 12:30, and I think there are labs after that. So, yeah, we 12:30, the day is done, and we turn around and come back home and get to work. In fact, some of our developers have, last night we were talking, and he's like, yeah, I don't want to, you know, I need to go back and code some of this new stuff that I've learned. So, yeah, he's already started working on some of the cool new iOS 5 features that we want to include, integrate into our applications.
Wow, so. Great.
Well, listen, travel safely. Thanks very much for kind of giving us an update on WWDC and from your perspective. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Shivani is working also with W3I on her project, which is Flip Toast. And we had a chance to see you do that presentation up in St. Cloud. And Shivani, your energy and enthusiasm is always great. So thanks very much.
Yeah, thank you. It was great talking to you guys, and I just want to mention that, as always, W3I is hiring. So if there's any developers out there, looking for opportunities in .NET, C#, or iOS development, Android development, just shoot me an email or find me. So.
You Sounds bet. Great. Yeah.
Thanks, Shivani.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, guys. It was great talking to you.
Same. Take
great
care.
Talking to you.
Bye now.
There you go.
Well, what
she has incredible energy and enthusiasm. Oh, she really gets into what she's doing. So it's always great to talk to her. So, well, there you go.
Well, I don't know if I can embed that video, but I'll give that a shot in terms of her presentation, because that was people can then see her.
That was something she did while she was out there. Is that what that was? Or
the Ignite? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what it was?
Right,
okay.
Right. Well, what I think is going to be interesting is, and I haven't seen anybody talk about this at all, but two things kind of stick in my brain. Number one is Microsoft basically telling people that have IE6, please, for God's sakes, get off IE6.
Oh, God.
Yes. So for
please
even,
die.
For even IE6, them to do it.
Please.
Yeah.
Have you seen that T-shirt?
No.
But IE6 must die.
I looked at Google Analytics on our main company site, and 32%. Are still on IE6. It's people. God. Hello. Anyway, but you know, with what Google's doing with Chrome and the Chrome OS, and with everybody seemingly on mobile embracing WebKit, which is what sits underneath Safari, which is what sits underneath Chrome OS, and what sits underneath a lot, or even most, or maybe all, Tim, you probably know, of the apps that are running mobile, is HTML5 going to be a reality faster than we think?
On mobile, absolutely.
Okay.
Because everybody's running WebKit. Well, at least the major platforms are. I'm not sure what RIM's running, but
no, RIM's it's so much RIM's over dead. For RIM. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to put a link.
Who cares what they're running?
I'm going to put a link in the show notes to some Safari technology demos, and these also run on Chrome, the same demos, but it'll give people an idea of why HTML5 matters and why it's going to be so exciting for anybody doing any development, whatever you're creating from a web app standpoint. HTML5 is huge, and the only thing holding people back is critical mass. And when I talk to people that are significantly smarter than I am from a development standpoint, or even somebody who's trying to get a that his font delivery product off the ground, Garrick Van Buren, about HTML5, the only thing that seems to hold everybody back is that critical mass. Mm-hmm. And maybe we'll be there faster than we think. Because everybody's, oh, no, 5 years from now. Nah, it's way out there. No. Well, you know, we can't do that yet. But hopefully it'll happen fast.
Where does WebOS stand with HTML5? You know, we're going to see the new HP, what do they call it, the new tablet on July 1, right? Does WebOS take advantage of HTML5?
Well, it uses the WebKit as open source layout. So the HP touchpad is going to run WebOS 3. Mm-hmm. It's going to be released this summer, and that WebKit is the underlying engine. So just basically, you know, like you said, Tim, everything that's mobile is based on WebKit.
Yeah, the whole WebOS, it's probably the most native HTML5 from the beginning, from when Palm first came
to
out. So it's probably the most pure of any of the platforms. So if you look at those, I still think the top three are Android, Apple, and RIM, though. So but I guess BlackBerry may take the fall. And maybe HP will make something of WebOS.
Well, I think WebOS I've used it, and I think it's really a pretty doggone good OS.
Yeah.
It's got some great ideas. I think it's been hampered by the hardware. Has not been as good as it's needed to be. And they've continued to focus on that Qwerty, a portrait Qwerty form factor, which a lot of people don't care about anymore. You know?
The what form factor?
It's a portrait Qwerty, so it's like the BlackBerry, where you've got a physical keyboard underneath the main screen.
I think
pretty much everybody has kind of gone to the iPhone style, candy bar with virtual keyboard sort of thing. Mm. Or if you have a physical keyboard, it's a slide out landscape keyboard, like on the original Droid.
Well, I'll try to find this this actual article. I'm kind of scanning now, but it was one of the major analyst organizations, maybe IDG, that came out and said by 2015, over 70% of global internet access will come through mobile devices.
Hmm. And so I can believe that.
If that's the case, maybe HTML5 will be at critical mass within a couple of years, 3 years.
Well, what's kind of astounding to me is that I can remember back not too long ago when we were all doing WAP. Remember WAP?
Oh, God.
Websites? And how limiting all that stuff was. And now we're running, there's almost no difference between a website for mobile and a full website.
Yeah. Wow.
So it's amazing how much power has kind of come down into the phone. Over the past just a little while, this 4 or 5 years.
Very nice. Well, I suppose we should talk about, well, go ahead, Phil.
Well, let's talk about what's coming up here in the next week. So real quick, let's see, we've got Project Skyway Bootcamp is, I believe that's today and tomorrow, isn't it? With the folks at Coco MSP.
Yeah.
There's a little something going on this evening and then tomorrow. So that's happening. Unsummit is scheduled for next Saturday. And I know we haven't discussed it, but we'll be doing the podcast live there.
I'd love to do that. Yeah, let's do that. Absolutely.
You guys up for that?
I don't know. I'll be out of town, but Tim. I'll be listening.
Tim. I might be out of town too. Yeah, who knows?
I'll listen to you guys.
Just kidding.
The commitment, the love.
Yeah, no, we'll be there. Is it going to be at the library again, or where is it going to be?
At Coco.
Coco.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Again, yep.
Not their new facility. Unfortunately, it's not ready yet, but they are going to start tours, or they have started tours.
Every Wednesday, right?
Every Wednesday at from 1 to 5. At the new Minneapolis facility. And I got to tell you that I've seen a couple of other photos of it in disarray now as they're doing construction. And oh my God, is that going to be a great event space? Mm-hmm. It's going to be really great.
And handball court.
Yeah. And then WordPress. the MSP group is having the monthly meeting Thursday the 24th. And what else?
Anything else, guys? But we'll keep you updated as we
There
you go. So it's one of those kind of busy periods of time for us as far as gatherings, and we'll see what the world brings us in the next week. So there you go.
Sounds good.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks for being on, gentlemen.
You betcha.
And thank you
next week
listening
on the Binnovate Gang podcast.
That's right. Take care, gents.
With 99% less Apple content.
Yeah. That's right. See ya.
Okay, over and out.